यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोदरक श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन विप्र संस्थापकाचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोदरक श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ताई गुरु प्रेमानंदी All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3-5 तस्य आर्षा ओके तस्याश्रिष्टं धनुषि प्रयुञ्जत स्वर्णपुंका कलहंसवासस विनिस्रता आविवशुर्द्विषद्बलं यथावनं भीमरवाशिखंडिन। ट्रांसलेशन। इवन एज ध्रुव महाराज फिक्स द वेपन मेड बाय नारायण ऋषि ऑन टू हिज बो Arrows with golden shafts and feathers like the wings of a swan flew out from it. They entered the enemy soldiers with a great hissing sound, just as peacocks enter a forest with tumultuous crowing. Taistigmadharai pradhaneshili mukhai itastata punyajana upadruta tamabhyadhavan kupita upayudha सुपर्ण उन्नध फणा इवाहयो। Those sharp arrows dismayed the enemy soldiers, who became almost unconscious, but various yakshas on the battlefield in a rage against Dhruva Maharaj somehow or other collected their weapons and attacked. Just as serpents agitated by Garuda rushed towards Garuda with upraised hoods, all the yaksha soldiers prepared to overcome Dhruva Maharaj with their upraised weapons. Text 5. Sa tan prashakkair abhidhavato mrdhe nikrita bahuru uru shirahdhara उदरान् निनाय लोकम् परम् अर्कमण्डलम् व्रजन्ति निर्भिद्य यम् ऊर्ध्वरेतसः सतान् पृषत्कैरभिधावतो मृधे निकृतबाहुरुषिरोद्भरोदरान् निनाय लोकम् परमर्कमण्डलम् व्रजन्ति निर्भेद्ययमम् ऊर्ध्वरेतस सतान् पृषत्कैरभिधावतो मृधे निकृतबाहुरुषिरोद्भरोदरान् निनाय लोकम् परमर्कमण्डलम् व्रजन्ति निर्भेद्ययमूर्ध्वरेतस सतान् पृषत्कैरभिधावतो मृधे निकृतबाहुरुषिरोधरोदरान् निनाय लोकम् परमर्कमण्डलम् व्रजन्ति निर्भेद्ययमूर्ध्वरेतसः Ladies, सह ही ध्रुव महाराज तान ऑल द यक्षस प्रशत कई ही बाय हिज एरोस अभिधावतः कमिंग फॉरवर्ड मृधे इन द बैटल फील्ड निकृत बींग सेपरेटेड बाहु आर्म्स उरु थाइस शिरहधर नेक्स उदरान एंड बेलीज निनाय डेलिवर्ड लोकम टू द प्लैनेट परम सुप्रीम अर्कमंडलम द सन ग्लोब ब्रजंती गो निर्भिद्य पियर्सिंग यम टू विच ऊर्ध्वरेतसा दोज वुड नॉट डिस्चार्ज सीमन एट एनी टाइम. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Yakshas coming forward, he immediately took his arrows and cut the enemies to pieces. Separating their arms, legs, heads and bellies from their bodies, he delivered the Yakshas to the planetary system which is situated above the sun globe, and which is attainable only by first-class brahmacharis who have never discharged their semen. Purport. To be killed by the Lord or by His devotees is auspicious for non-devotees. The Yakshas were killed indiscriminately by Dhruva Maharaj, but they attained the planetary system attainable only for brahmacharis who never discharged their semen. As the impersonalist jnanis or demons killed by the Lord attain brahmaloka, or Satyaloka, persons killed by a devotee of the Lord also attain Satyaloka. To reach the Satyaloka planetary system described here, one has to be elevated above the sun globe. Killing, therefore, is not always bad. If the killing is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee, or in great sacrifices, it is for the benefit of the entity killed in that way. Material so-called non-violence is very insignificant in comparison to killing done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotees. Even when a king or the state government kills a person who is a murderer, that killing is for the benefit of the murderer, for thus he may become cleared of all sinful reactions. An important word in this verse is urdhvaretasa, which means brahmacharis who have never discharged semen. Celibacy is so important that even though one does not undergo any austerities, penances or ritualistic ceremonies prescribed in the Vedas, if one simply keeps himself a pure brahmachari, not discharging his semen, the result is that after death he goes to Satyaloka. Generally, sex life is the cause of all miseries in the material world. In the Vedic civilization, sex life is restricted in various ways. Out of the whole population of the social structure, only the grihasthas are allowed restricted sex life. All others refrain from sex. The people of this age especially do not know the value of not discharging semen. As such, they are variously entangled with material qualities and suffer an existence of struggle only. The word urdhvaretasa especially indicates the Mayavadi sannyasis who undergo strict principles of austerity. But in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord says that even if one goes up to Brahmaloka, he again comes back. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Norjuna. Therefore, actual mukti or liberation can be attained only by devotional service, because by devotional service one can go above Brahmaloka or to the spiritual world, wherefrom he never comes back. Mayavadi sannyasis are very proud of becoming liberated, but actual liberation is not possible unless one is in touch with the Supreme Lord in devotional service. It is said, Harim bina nasratim taranti. Without Krishna's mercy, no one can have liberation. Hare Krishna. So, first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of so many illustrious Srila Prabhupada's disciples and senior devotees, that I may try to speak something for my purification in the mood of being a humble servant. So, in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is making several points, but the main theme is that devotional service or touch with the Supreme Lord in devotional service is the actual means of being liberated. And two concepts Prabhupada mentions here is non-violence and celibacy, which by ordinary standards would be considered to be very auspicious for advancement in spiritual field. So tapa, dharma, daya, mauna, mantra, ahimsa, all of these are considered to be qualities to be acquired. But the main point Srila Prabhupada mentions is that unless they are in connection with bhakti or devotional service, they are not of much use. We find a beautiful verse by Madhavendra Puri, and Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in one of the purports of the fourth chapter. And Madhavendra Puri describes in this verse that how when a person takes to the process of bhakti, then there is a lot of criticism and attack upon him by people who do not understand the essence of bhakti. So the people of this world, or those who are not aware of the standards of pure devotional service, misunderstand the principles of bhakti and expect devotees to follow those standards. And they may even consider that what the devotees are doing is in fact violence. And he says that all of these obstacles may be there, but I am determined to perform devotional service at any cost. So he mentions various kinds of obstacles, various types of criticisms which may be leveled against devotees who are trying to practice sincerely the path of bhakti. And many times this criticism or obstacles put forward by others is because of not understanding the actual principles of bhakti. And Madhavendra Puri says, Mugdam mam nigadantu niti nipuna bhrantam muhuru vaidika mandam bandhava sanchaya jadadhiya muktadara sodara. The first type of criticism, he says, is Mugdam mam nigadantu niti nipuna. He says, those who are sharp moralists may accuse me of being in illusion. So they have certain standards of what morality is, of what is right, what is wrong. And they expect devotees to follow those standards. And when they see that the devotees are doing something else, and they have a totally wrong conception of what absolute truth is, and hence there is misunderstanding. So the example is given that Yudhishthir Maharaj, he had given shelter to Dhritarashtra, and Vidura had come, and Vidura, he preached to Dhritarashtra very strongly, and by the influence of Vidura's strong words, Dhritarashtra left home along with Vidura and Gandhari. So at that time, Yudhishthir Maharaj, as usual, goes in the morning to greet Dhritarashtra and sees that Dhritarashtra is not in his room. So Yudhishthir Maharaj is overwhelmed by grief because he is unable to understand what happened to Dhritarashtra. So he calls Sanjay, because he knows that Dhritarashtra always consults Sanjay, who acts as his secretary. He asks Sanjay, "My dear Sanjay, where is Dhritarashtra?" And Sanjay says that even I am not aware. And in a beautiful verse he says, "Naham veda vyavasitam pitrorvah kulanandana gandharyava mahabhaga mushitosmi mahatmabhi." "O Yudhishthir Maharaj, I do not have answer to your question. I do not know. Naham veda. I am not aware where Dhritarashtra has gone. Pitrorvah kulanandana. And I do not know where Vidura has also gone. And I do not know where Gandhari has gone. They left this palace without informing me. Dhritarashtra has spent his entire life consulting me, even on small matters. And in the last few years, I have acted so closely with him. And with someone who has such a close relationship, you would not expect to leave without informing." And therefore he says, "Mushitosmi mahatmabhi." "O Yudhishthir, at this time I feel cheated. I feel that Dhritarashtra, Vidura and these great souls have cheated me." So Prabhupada asks a question in the purport, that there seems to be a contradiction in this statement, where Sanjay is saying, "Great souls have cheated me." Now how can great souls cheat someone? If someone cheats, he cannot be considered a great soul. So therefore, Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, "That great soul's cheat may appear to be surprising, but great souls cheat for a great cause." And then he explains in the purport the example of how Krishna requested Yudhishthir Maharaj to speak a half-truth. How Raghunath Das Goswami bribed people so that he could escape and surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gives the example of Sanatana Goswami bribing the jailkeepers so that he could escape. So by normal standards, by moral standards, these would be considered improper. It would be considered immoral. But here Srila Prabhupada explains that because the cause was to surrender to Krishna, therefore that is a higher truth. And Srila Prabhupada explains his own example in the end of this purport, that similarly, we also had the chance and the opportunity to cheat our family members and dedicate ourselves in the mission of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore we find that as soon as someone takes to the process of bhakti, the whole standard of morality has to be seen from a different angle. And here that has been described. So on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishmadeva was lying on a bed of arrows. And as he was awaiting his impending death, he had power and control over when he would leave his body. Great souls from all over the universe appeared there. Krishna came along with the Pandavas. And Bhishma could see from the corner of his eyes the beautiful form of the Lord. And therefore, according to the Vedic standards, when great souls come, the great sages, rishis and devotees and the Lord appear, they have to be given proper welcome and reception. And Bhishma's entire body had been covered with arrows. From the top of his head till the tip of his toe, every inch of his body was covered with arrows, and there was no way he could move even any small limb of his body. So therefore, in such a situation, it was practically impossible for Bhishma to welcome them. And if one does not welcome great souls, it is considered to be an act of irreligion. It is considered to be adharma. So at that time it is described
that Bhishma, he understood what he could do in that situation and did what was best possible for him. And it is described, Tan sametan mahan bhaga upalabhya vasuttama pujayan asa dharmagyo desh kal vibhagavit. Bhishma Dev saw that all these great souls had appeared and he could not do anything with his hands or legs as he would have regularly done if they had visited his palace. Throughout his life, Bhishma Dev had welcomed so many great souls at his palace and given them a grand reception. But now, in that situation, what could he do? There was only one limb of his body which was functioning, and that was his tongue. Pujayan asa dharmagyo desh kal vibhagavit. So he understood that the principles of religion are most important to follow, and the details may always change according to time, place and circumstance. And because he understood, he was a dharmagya, understood the principles of dharma, he used that opportunity to glorify the sages, used his tongue to afford a proper welcome by glorifying them, welcoming them with sweet words. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that only a dharmagya, or one who is expert in the principles of religion, he is able to apply those principles according to time, place and circumstance. So in this way, there was a danger that Bhishma Dev may not be able to follow the principles, but he understood what is maximum possible in that situation. Therefore, many times what is dharma or what is principle of religion, it takes a different connotation if one is not following the standards of pure devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the standard of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by that standard, dharma projita kaitava, all other lower forms of religion are kicked out. So therefore here, we see that if anyone takes to the process of bhakti, then from society, there is many times a backlash. And people may say, what you are doing is immoral. You are hurting others. This is violence. And many times people accuse that your family members are affected so much. You are taking to the process of bhakti. You are giving your life to this mission. But you are hurting the family and this is not good. It is immoral. And especially in India, when we preach and we become brahmacharis, then there is always a heavy backlash that what you are doing is immoral. To take care of family is the first responsibility. And then so many shlokas will be quoted to substantiate this point. But the principle is that Srila Prabhupada explains, when one understands pure devotional service is the goal and one dedicates himself for that path, then that principle is a higher principle. One of Vaishnavas, who is now a sannyasi, who is from Spain, and is connected with one of the Gaudiya Vaishnava missions, and he had come to our temple many years before, and he is a sannyasi right now, and he is from South America. And he was describing that how this principle of attachment is a great violence. And he was giving his own example that he came from a family where there were 20 children. And he was the 20th. And every day in his house, when they would have food, they would serve out lunch in the courtyard because they couldn't accommodate inside. And they would leave the doors open. So many people who would be walking by the road outside, they would watch what is happening inside and they would come thinking that there is some restaurant working here. And they would come inside and sit. And the father would have to tell them that this is our family, this is not for outsiders. And in such a family, when he took to Krishna consciousness and dedicated himself, The parents were crying and saying, you can't do this. And he said, what is the problem? There are 19 other people in the family. He said, no, but still, we want you to be situated in a certain way. And this is not what we have planned for you. So therefore, when Arjuna was saying that I will be non-violent, Krishna said this is bogus. Because attachment is the basic principle for violence. We develop relationship, and through that relationship we try to control others and try to make others do exactly what we want them to do according to our standards. And therefore, when we try to apply relative principles for sense gratification, for our own interests, then that is the principle of violence. And here it is described that the moralists may accuse the devotee that what you are doing is immoral, not proper, but the standard is samsiddhir haritoshanam, Krishna's pleasure. So therefore Madhavendra Puri says, mugdham mam nigadantu niti nipuna, that sharp moralists may accuse me that I am an illusion. And then he says, secondly, bhrantam muhur vaidika, those who are experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Bhrantam muhur vaidika, that you are misled from the real Vedic path. You are chanting Hare Krishna, you are following this principle. This is not the real essence of the Vedas. Vedas describe something else and so many other paths. So the example is that of the wives of the brahmanas. So Krishna and Balaram sent the cowherd boys, and the Vedic brahmanas, the yagyik brahmanas, sent them away. And Krishna and Balaram sent them to the wives. And immediately the wives were ready to send all of the foodstuffs they had made for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. And although they were not Vedic scholars. And Bhagavatam describes, nishidhyamana patibhir bratribhir bandhubi saha. They were stopped by their husbands, by their brothers, by the other relatives. Nishidhyamana. There was objection, you can't do this. This is not Vedic. This is not proper. But Shukadeva Goswami describes, Bhagavati uttama shloke dirghashruta dhritashaya. They had that conviction and determination to go ahead and please Krishna and overpower all of these objections, because Bhagavati uttama shloka, they had heard about Krishna for a long period of time. Dirghashruta dhritashaya. The process of hearing is so powerful, and because they had heard about the importance of surrender to Krishna and pleasing Krishna, that they could fulfill Krishna's desire. And this is an example of expert Vedic scholars not understanding the essence. When Srila Prabhupada was preaching, when he came to the West, there was one reporter who met Srila Prabhupada. And this reporter was from India. And he started challenging Srila Prabhupada. And his basic objection was that how, as an Indian, you have come to the West, and as a sannyasi, and because there are so many rules and regulations in the Vedic scriptures about crossing the ocean and things like that. So he started asking Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, why have you come to the West? What brings you here? And Srila Prabhupada said, you are also an Indian. What are you doing here in the West? And this reporter said, higher prospects, Swamiji. Prabhupada said, me too, higher prospects. Because I tried to preach so much, but nobody is taking it seriously. There are sincere people here. And that is the most important principle. Srila Prabhupada describes that when you get caught up in all the details of the Vedic rituals, then one forgets the essence. So within the word spiritual is also the word ritual. And if we lose the essence of the spirit, then what remains is only all the externals. And therefore, the conclusion is most important. Like there is this pastime Giriraj Maharaj explains with Srila Prabhupada, that in Kumbh Mela, two devotees were discussing. One devotee was saying that the difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna is black and Balaram is white like an autumn cloud. And, this was Bhavanandpur who was saying this. And Yamuna Mataji, she was saying that, no, the difference between Krishna and Balaram is only Krishna enjoys with Radharani and not Balaram. And there was some discussion going on, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj brought this point to Srila Prabhupada. And he told Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, Bhavanand Prabhu was saying that this difference between Krishna and Balaram is one is black and other is white. And Prabhupada said, he is right. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but Yamuna Mataji is saying that the difference is that Krishna only enjoys with Radharani and not Balaram. And Prabhupada said, she's right. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, how can both people, they are saying two different things, how can both be right? And Prabhupada said, you are right. And then he got bewildered. So Prabhupada, what is the conclusion? Prabhupada said, you decide. And then he says that in spiritual life, when we are discussing and dealing with so many instructions and so many things which can be possibly done, we can get caught up in the details. And therefore, that one thing is right doesn't necessarily mean that other thing is wrong. The most important principle is to understand the essence. So therefore, those who are experts in Vedic literatures may sometimes think in terms of, yes, this is the right thing to be done, and what you are doing is not right. This is not right, this is not perfect, this is a better way of doing. So this is because of forgetting the essence. And especially in India, most people do not know the value of preaching. And the typical understanding there is, Hinduism means no preaching. That you should never preach. Hindus never preach. Bhagavad Gita should never be preached. This is not to be done. Like one reporter was challenging Srila Prabhupada, that Swamiji, we see that your disciples are going to all these airports and giving these books. You know, wherever I'm traveling, I only bump into your devotees and they are always giving books, books, books. I think they are a bunch of bookworms. And Prabhupada said, if you don't take those books, you will become stoolworm. So which do you think is better? So better be careful. These books contain such important information that your life can be saved. So therefore, according to the traditional Vedic concepts, there may be so many ways of doing things. But here, Madhavendra Puri says, Bhrantam Muhur Vaidika. Those who are Vedic experts may slander me, saying they are misled. They don't know the essence. They are not doing something high. And Srila Prabhupada was facing this kind of challenge all the time during his preaching. And thirdly, he says, Mandam Bandhava Sanchaya Jadadhiya Mukta Dara Sodara. The third criticism Madhavendra Puri describes is that friends and relatives who knew us from before may see us practicing Hare Krishna and they may say, I think you are frustrated in life. That is why you are chanting Hare Krishna. What is the problem? Enjoy like us. Why are you frustrated? So therefore, they may call me frustrated, he's saying. And the example is Avanti Brahman. He had so many relatives. And then when he took to this, he lost his business. Then he took to the process of spirituality. Then he lost all of his money. And there were so many friends and other people who were accusing him, slandering him, hitting, throwing stones at him, spitting at him. And they were calling him frustrated, that you could not make it in life and therefore you are doing this. You have lost it and therefore you are taking to this process. And then Avanti Brahman explains, Nayam janome sukadukha hetu na devatatma griha karma kala. I do not think that all of these other friends, relatives, those who are surrounding me and accusing me of all these things, nor other planets or kala, it is all responsible for this fate of mine. Mana param karanam amananti sansara chakram. That my mind is ultimately the cause for all my suffering. Mana param karanam amananti sansara chakram. And only if I cannot control my mind, then I will be forced to take birth in this material world again. Therefore, all of us have propensity to neglect, to disobey, and to rebel. And these three things can be used in Krishna's service by engaging it with the mind. Neglect the mind, rebel against the mind, and to disobey what the mind says. And in this way, we can see there will be so much of transformation. So here from this pastime we can see that friends and relatives may call us frustrated. And in life we may go through situations where things are not going according to expectation. There is some frustration in business or family. And as practicing devotees, it is a challenge to our faith. But we should know that Krishna gives these kind of doses sometimes to make us more serious in Krishna consciousness. Just like one of our brahmacharis, he says when he was a student and coming from college, he would come for a Sunday feast. And he said that I would be so hungry and so desperate for prasad that I don't remember any time any of the faces of the devotees who were serving prasad. Because I don't remember looking up at anyone's face because I would be so eager just to see what is falling on the plate. And he says the only time I would look up was if something did not fall according to expectation. And if I was expecting halwa should fall this much and only this much fell, immediately I would look up. Who is this fellow who's serving like this? Doesn't he know I like halwa so much? And that was the only time I would look up. So many times when things are falling on our plate, as per expectation, we may be absorbed just in eating. But then when Krishna holds back and doesn't give certain things, then we are forced to look up and take shelter more and inquire what exactly is happening like that. So in this way he says, Muktadara Sodara. So the friends and relatives may call me frustrated. The brothers, he says, may call me a fool. The fourth type of criticism, that close relatives like the brothers, they may call me a fool. And the example is Ravan. You know, he considered Vibhishan to be a fool. That you're deserting me and going to Ram. And that doesn't make any sense at all. And Unmattam Dhanino. Those who are wealthy, they may consider that these devotees have become too proud and therefore they are very proud of their renunciation. And Sridhar Kolvech would be accused like that by so many others all around him that this person, what does he think of himself? And so Srila Prabhupada gives a story that there was this beggar who approached a wealthy lady for some alms. And this lady was so frustrated, she was so angry, she brought some ash from inside, that chulha which is there where you make chapati in traditional Indian villages. So a lot of ash was there. She brought that ash and put it in his chadar. And this beggar said, thank you very much. I will come again tomorrow. And she said, nonsense. I am giving you so much of ash. Still you will come? He said, the good thing is today at least you have begun the process of giving something. So today you have given ash, tomorrow you will give cash. So what is the problem? I have hope. And so Prabhupada quotes this story as saying that when in preaching, a person may encounter someone who is very inimical, but even if he does something little on the positive side, we should continue preaching so that gradually he transforms. And then Madhavendra Puri says last is, the philosophers may say that devotees are extremely proud. Only Krishna, only Krishna, only Krishna. They don't hear anything else at all. So why is it like this? So they may accuse the devotees of being proud. So Madhavendra Puri says, Moktum na kshamate manag api mano Govinda padas purham. This may be extremely difficult and these challenges may be very intense. But he says, I am determined to continue to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Although my mind may not be able to focus, but still I will never give up the attempt to focus myself and continue to serve Krishna's lotus feet. So in this way, this is the principle of devotional service, where there will be challenges and we can be inspired by the mood of the great acharyas like Madhavendra Puri about how to remain focused on this path and understand this is the essence, and all other principles like non-violence and celibacy and yajna and dana and tapasya and everything, they make sense only in connection with Krishna consciousness. Thank you. So any corrections or any comments? Dravida Prabhu.
Is it true that one of the reasons why the husbands and other male relatives of the wives of the Brahmins, why they were very adamant that they wouldn't go out, is that all that prasadam, that food that they had prepared, they were expecting that they would have after the sacrifice.
Right.
And now Krishna, they're taking it all to Krishna. And this causes great anxiety for them, because after a big jagya, like, they expect to have prasadam. Is that true?
Dhanurdhar Maharaj was explaining recently in during Govardhan Parikrama that at that time the Brahmanas were so absorbed in performing their sacrifice that Krishna, who was supposed to be the enjoyer of all the sacrifices, came there, but they were simply concerned with this fact that how can we perform this sacrifice now at the right time and go through all the different motions perfectly. And then they realized this later, and then they kind of curse themselves. Dhik janmanas trivikyastat, dhik vratam dhik bahugyatam. So in spite of knowing that, at that point also Srila Prabhupada, it is mentioned in the purport by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that even at that time, after knowing their mistake, still they could not go and surrender to Krishna because there was fear of Kamsa. So in that sense, their absorption and their faith in Krishna, their Shraddha in Krishna, was still not at the level of what their wives' Shraddha was. So in that sense, their wives were more advanced because they heard from the other Brajavasis, like the betel nut sellers and the vegetable sellers, who would come and sing Krishna's glories in their village. And because of hearing from them, they had developed that conviction. So what they were saying was true from the Vedic perspective, that naturally only after the yajna is over these kind of things should be done. But that was like a very special occasion where Krishna personally was present. And so it took time for the Vedic Brahmana, the yajic Brahmanas, to adjust to the sudden change. And that is what many times happens in our daily services and in our process of practice also, that we are used to a certain pattern, and sometimes Krishna springs a surprise suddenly. And then to the extent we are mature and experienced, to that extent we are able to detect that here is, you know, a chance for me to adjust and then go beyond what I have been generally used to. But many times we fail to understand that, and in retrospect we realize, oh, you know, this was like a mistake. Okay.
We're hearing that the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Vidura left along with the rest and did not tell Sanjaya where he was going. This conversation is happening before that occasion or after after he left Sanjaya's place.
Which one?
Is it this conversation between Maitreya and Vidura is taking place before he left the palace or after he left it?
This is after he left the palace first time, when Duryodhan, you know, chastised him and asked him to leave and only take the possession of his breath with him. And then after going through the third and fourth canto discussion with Maitreya, then he hears of the carnage at Kurukshetra, then he comes back, and then they leave like that. So this was in that period when he's discussing like that. Okay? Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.